Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Overcoming the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony podcast, a companion podcast to the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony message series that I preached almost 100 messages on. The title of this particular podcast is Overcoming the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony, number 17. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. The purpose of this podcast is to share with you from a biblical perspective the means by which we can combat and overcome the sin of gluttony. Gluttony, a very ugly word, and its outcome of obesity. Our passage from the Word of God today is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which reads, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Don't put anything in your body that will harm it. And by the way, we said earlier the outcome of gluttony is obesity. But we must include all of the diseases that come from the awful sin, the ugly sin of gluttony. And whether you like it or not, many Christians, including myself, are guilty of this sin, but we don't like to talk about it because it is our pet sin. And so God has laid on my heart to deal with our sin. As the Bible says, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. Now, let's look at gluttony and its effects in the news. According to University College of London, people who are obese from childhood through to middle age are more than twice as likely to have difficulty with daily tasks such as lifting, climbing stairs, and carrying shopping by the time they are 50. Sad to say, some in America can barely walk because of gluttony, the sin of gluttony. The study found that longer duration of obesity had the most impact on risk, with those becoming obese in middle age having a smaller increase in risk. For example, men who became obese between the ages of 45 and 50 faced an increase in risk of about 50%, while for women the risk increase was 78%. The authors suggested this was likely because people who were obese for longer were also more likely to have a higher BMI by the age of 50. Dr. Nina Rogers, lead author of the study, said, "The prevalence of obesity at younger ages is increasing. Since obesity in childhood often tracks into adulthood, it is likely that more people will spend increasing periods of their life living with obesity. Our study therefore emphasizes the importance of preventing and delaying the onset of obesity in order to mitigate the risk of poor physical functioning in middle age." Beloved, in this podcast, we are going through the fine book, The Rave Diet and Lifestyle, the natural foods diet with meals that heal by Mike Anderson. This section is titled Conventional Cancer Treatments Part 2. The cancer industry becomes giddy as the media promotes early detection, because the earlier the detection, the greater the 5-year survival rates will be, which makes the cancer industry look as if it is actually helping people, and that is not necessarily the case. But in fact, all the cancer industry has done is made people's lives miserable by putting them through surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and other invasive treatments, and created a living hell for patients through nausea, vomiting, infections, and damage to their internal organs, while pocketing billions of dollars from insurance companies and thus from the patients, going through a living hell. And by the way, chemotherapy is a living hell. And after all this treatment, they have not extended the lives of their patients one iota. In those few successful cases, most cancer patients die of a later recurrence of cancer or a disease brought on by the chemotherapy or radiation treatments themselves. In fact, if you add in all the people who have died of another disease because of the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation, that is, died of pneumonia due to a weakened immune system, conventional treatments have done far more harm than good. Beloved, in plain English, cancer victims would have lived the same number of years without conventional treatments. The sad fact is that people are not living longer as a result of conventional treatments. They are just being given a longer death sentence. The next time you hear about improvements in cancer treatments, ask for improvements in life expectancy rates, not 5-year survival rates. You could survive conventional treatments for 5 years and die in the 6th year, and the cancer industry would consider their treatments a success. But you're dead, and record it as such. Please don't fall for this statistical lie. Ladies and gentlemen, the origins of chemotherapy are found in chemical warfare agents such as mustard gas, and chemotherapy is just as toxic to the patient as it is to the enemy soldier it was intended for. All the cancer industry did was turn chemo warfare into chemotherapy and coined the term war on cancer. My. Back in 1985, an article in the Scientific American showed that chemotherapy was able to save the lives of, at most, just 3% of cancer patients. In 1990, a renowned biostatistics expert reviewed chemotherapy-treated cancer patients and concluded that chemo can help only about 3% of patients with epithelial cancers, such as breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, and lung cancers. In 2006, a comprehensive review of chemotherapy treatments in the U.S. and Australia from 1990 to 2004 on 22 of our most common cancers showed that once again chemotherapy contributed to survival rates in only 3% of patients. And these were only 5-year survival rates once again. The medical profession generally considers any drug with less than 30% of effectiveness no better than a placebo. So how, you might ask, can the medical profession get away with using chemotherapy when the results are downright pathetic and far less than what you would expect using a placebo? The answer, once again, is statistics. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me and others who have committed the sin of gluttony. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, and we thank you for your grace shown to us. But Lord, we pray now that you'll help us to repent and turn away from this acceptable sin in the church and in our lives. Help us, Lord, to do the right thing regarding food and with our bodies, and to exercise and to take care of the bodies that you have blessed us with. For your glory, praise, and honor, and for a good testimony before a dying and lost world. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen.